League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your Thursday edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I'm joined once again by my two youthful, good-looking, handsome friends, Alex Jones and Rossi. I'm going to start with you, Rossi, because you're in a different location again. You said you're living the bachelor life at the moment. You're in a pad, on your own, having fun, still a bit ill, but battling through it.
Yeah, I'm currently house-sitting my sister's house. They've got two cats, and my sister's gone away with the kids. She just said, "Do you fancy looking after them?" I went, "Yeah, sure, no problem." I have, though, renamed the cats because they've got silly names, Snowy and Fluffy. Not having any of that. And I just thought, a little bit of joke, just called them Mercedes and Crystal. So they are basically stripper hooker cats. So
they sound like ladies of the night.
It's a night. But no, they've been really well behaved. I did literally lose one of them because they're more house cats. They can't really go outside. But I went outside to put, you know, the rubbish in the bin, and they can sort of have a little wander in the garden. Yeah. But what happened is there was a bird that came down and one of them chased it. And I was like, oh God. And luckily though, I was able to get the cat back in, but I was like, oh my God, what if I like jumped over the fence and whatever. But I don't know what breed cat they are, but I know they're clumsy cats, but they're being well behaved.
Yeah, that would be classic Ross to lose the two cats in the few days that you're house sitting. So we should also say, of course, no offence meant. If your name is Crystal or Mercedes and you listen to this show, they're fine, beautiful names. It doesn't apply anything at all about your potential occupation. Moving swiftly on, AJ, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Imagine if we had to like delay this podcast recording because Ross had lost one of the cats. Sorry, guys, I can't come on and record now. I'm chasing down the streets of Suffolk trying to find a cat. Yeah, I wouldn't overly be that surprised, to be honest. But yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Thanks for asking. No one ever really does on this show. No one asks how I'm
doing. It dawned on me as I was saying that. I was thinking, I'm the host. You always ask us.
I always tee you up. I make you boys look good. No one ever asks about me. Anyway, do you know what I was doing? We talked about animals earlier this week. I went and fed some donkeys and some alpacas. And some fancy sheep and some goats and some horses at a local animal farm. It's quite embarrassing, actually, because me and the wife, we love that kind of stuff. But given that it's Easter holidays, literally everyone was there as a family. And we walk in, just the two of us, and the lady's like, "Is it just two of you?" "Yeah." And she went, "Oh." And then she went and got this like Easter chocolate. She said, I can't discriminate because obviously we're giving all this chocolate out to the kids. This is really for the kids, this place. But do you want some chocolate? "Yes, we do. Thank you very much. Now we're going to feed the donkeys and call them silly names." So, that was excellent. Tostock Animal Farm Park, indeed. If you're looking for a recommendation. Ross, you look confused.
What did you call the animals then? So I called the animals Crystal and Mercedes here. Donkeys.
Well, we didn't call them questionable stripper names. No. Generally speaking, when we're talking to animals, I call everything mate. "All right, mate. How you doing, mate? Oh, aren't you handsome, mate? You're pretty, aren't you, mate?" That kind of stuff. And this calls everything sausage because, like anyone who owns a dog, or probably a cat, I don't know, our dog, his name is Benson, but he has about a billion other nicknames that he answers to, which we rotate through. Is it the same for Maisie, AJ, while we're talking about animals? She's called Maisie, but is she called like 14 other different names as well?
Yeah, some of them I wouldn't be allowed to say on this podcast. Some of them relate to her farting. lots of different things that you go through, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm pleased with the way this podcast has started, friends, because this is the tone I want to set. Not necessarily farting animals and questionably named cats, but a bit fun. It struck me when I was thinking about what we're going to do today that a lot of these podcasts this season have necessarily been quite hard work. Hopefully not too hard work, enough that you still want to listen to it. But clearly, when Town generally are losing every week and look like they're heading for a immediate return to the Championship, it's been a bit bleak at times. So I thought what we'd do today is just have a bit of fun before we start building up to Arsenal. And we're going to start in the best way possible in terms of fun, which would be the most fun thing you can think of in a football context. Of course, friends, that would be Town pulling off the greatest of great escapes and surviving in the Premier League. And AJ has worked out a route to survival, which probably is going to happen. You shared that earlier this week, AJ, and I'm not sure that people really... Well, most people, I think, understood that it was tongue-in-cheek, but a few people took it very seriously and called you names.
It was tongue-in-cheek?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, you did it. Yeah, I thought you did a good job of doing it tongue-in-cheek, because obviously, realistically, Town are down. But anyway, I thought we'd start the show with the route to survival, which you have charted. We could share it with the people, and hopefully it will come to pass. Thoughts become things.
Yeah, so I'll go through and map it all out. So with this, you need to have someone to hunt down. If you look on the odds lists, Tottenham are still at risk of relegation, apparently, as are Wolves, as are Manchester City. Can't really talk about that. We might
have been in prison.
yes, none of that. But there's not really a lot of talk about West Ham United, a team that I have seen be terrible a lot of times in my life. They're not doing that well at the moment, and actually they are the nearest team to Ipswich in the Premier League table, which is really weird because for the last few months it's all been Wolves. Yeah, Wolves have overtaken West Ham and have gone above them. So even though Ipswich can mathematically be relegated as early as Sunday, what if they could catch West Ham? Could they?
I reckon they might be able to.
I reckon they could. Now, the games this weekend are probably a little bit unfortunate, where Ipswich have to host Arsenal. Not great.
Champions League semi-finalist.
They've just beaten Real Madrid home and away, 5-1. Yeah. They are an all right team. Okay. West Ham, on the flip side, are hosting Southampton.
As we stand,
on course to be the worst team in the history of the Premier League. They're the earliest team ever to be relegated in terms of like match weeks as well. They're already down. That's not great. But what if you have... Let's talk about West Ham first. Their first one against Southampton. I mean, Southampton, I don't think have been that bad recently, to be honest. Their performances have been okay. I think they've been a little bit unlucky. And West Ham, what if they just had a little bit of a slip? I'm not saying they're going to lose, because no one loses to Southampton. But what if they drew? What if they drew that game? You wouldn't say that would be a huge shock, given West Ham's form. So let's put that down as a draw. And Town, of course, as we're all going to predict later in the show, are going to beat Arsenal, because Arsenal just went to the burnout. They are knackered. They are puffed out. They're not bothered anyway, are they?
Let's be honest, they don't care.
There's a chance. If Liverpool win and Arsenal lose, the title's Liverpool's on Sunday. Mm. So there's two possibilities here. Either Arsenal are going to throw up their first team players who are going to be knackered, jet-lagged from the flight back from Madrid, or they're going to play the kids and they're going to be rubbish. So I think we can probably say that Town are going to gain some points on West Ham this weekend. Good?
Yeah.
Good. Yep. Like
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I'm going to group everything together, because otherwise it's going to be a very long podcast from here on in. Town go to Newcastle after that. That's quite a difficult game. I'll be honest. That's not an easy one. Remember when Newcastle came to Portland Road? Wasn't great. But you know what? With their form at the moment, I think they could get a point out of that. We'll have a draw. I think that'd be okay.
Town could get a point because they did win 5-0 last night at Newcastle, didn't they?
They did. But
they'll probably be tired.
He's on the ropes here.
Yeah.
You've got to bear in mind that that Town are in good form at the moment.
Well, they've just beaten Arsenal.
Taken a point off Chelsea beaten Arsenal.
Yeah.
Those are two teams in and around where Newcastle are. And I'm not going to say they're going to go up to Newcastle and win.
That would be mad.
United did it. But a draw, you know.
Sounds
teams
sensible.
Can't win forever. I think it'll be all right. And West Ham are going to play Brighton. West Ham's record against Brighton is pretty crap from my memory, so they'll lose that. I can just say they will. Final few games then. Let's do a compare and contrast. Ipswich, Everton away, Brentford at home, Leicester away, right?
Yeah.
I think they could pretty much win all of those.
Nine
Everton,
yeah.
Done. Season's over. Nothing left to play for. Oh, look at us. We want to win our final two games at Goodison. No, shut up. It's fine.
Exactly. No one cares. Yeah.
After that, Brentford home, season over, done. fine. No one cares.
Dead rubber.
Also, Brentford's terrible on the road, so that's fine. Leicester away. Leicester, probably the worst team in terms of performances at the moment. Town haven't lost to Leicester in the last two seasons so far, so that'll be fine. 3 points. West Ham, on the other hand, Nottingham Forest. Ooh. Oh, no, sorry, that's the wrong way. Tottenham at home. Not easy. Well, I know that Tottenham are a little bit rubbish, but, you know, they're still a top team with top players, a Son, a Kulusevski, exactly. All of those. Yeah. Manchester United away, Old Trafford. As Town found out, Old Trafford's a hard place to go.
Tough place to go in.
Tough place to go. Don't look at the form that they've been in this season. Just remember, it's a hard place to go. Yeah. And then Nottingham Forest at home. Nottingham Forest are a top team. So let's say that Town win those games and West Ham lose them, because West Ham are pretty bad at the moment.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're onto the final day.
It's onto the last game. What is the last game?
And what is the last game? It's Ipswich hosting West Ham.
Oh,
and
all of a sudden,
if Ipswich were to win that game, which would be a relegation straight shootout, Ipswich win and they stay up. They draw or lose, they go down. If Ipswich were to win that game against West Ham, Ipswich would have 37 points on the table. West Ham would have 36 and would be relegated to the Championship.
Imagine
and
the
that
scenes.
Is not how they could do it. That's how they will do it.
Absolutely.
All right?
I love it. And the record shows that in those sort of games, high pressure against teams at home, Town win those games this season. So
yeah, I mean, Town at home in general are pretty good. So that's
absolutely,
good.
Yeah.
It'll be really good against Arsenal, Brentford and West Ham. Sorted. Yeah, I've mapped all of it out. I'm really confident with everything I've kind of put forward here. I have written all of this as well and kind of just pieced it together. So you can go back through, have a look at it. It's on the website now. I'll put my workings in there. And the good thing is then another season in the top flight. And that's what we all want, isn't it? You know, we'll get to go to Arsenal again and Chelsea and Liverpool.
I love
good.
It.
I'm happy. Love
I think
it.
it's certainly more likely than Ross, for example, passing his driving test in the next year. Would you say that, Ross? I mean, it feels to me like that's Town staying up is more likely than that. And have you got any thoughts on that sequence of events we've just talked about? I mean, it all seems fairly plausible to me.
No comment on the first statement. on Town staying up with the working out that AJ's done. Mm-hmm. My just one thing from that is...
Just one?
Yeah, just one thing. You do know that Ipswich have only won 4 games all season, just to point out.
Yeah, but
they've literally just drawn at Stamford Bridge.
Exactly. Well,
they've just drawn at Chelsea.
They should have won.
They should have won. But it's about building confidence and momentum. They've beaten Bournemouth recently. We'll disregard the Wolves result because they wanted to lose that to make it dramatic.
Exactly.
Running. Great. So, yeah, exactly. Everything else pieces itself together. They've done this on purpose, Ross. They've got into this position because they want to be the greatest escapers.
Yeah.
That's it. They're not down there because they want to be down there. They've done all of this on purpose to be
narratives.
The narrative ever in Premier League history, the greatest escape.
Listen, Michael Ashton has coordinated this. Running towards adversity, he says, what could be more adverse than this? He says... Pulling off the greatest escape in Premier League history is what I want. McKenna's gone back-to-back promotions plus the greatest escape in Premier League history. Done. And then Ashton's also gone. We'll also call the Fabio Wardley fight running towards adversity as well, because it's themes, narratives. That's what we're going to do. So that's how it's going to happen, friends. Starting with Arsenal this weekend, of course, where Town are going to beat the Champions League semi-finalists. Fresh off 2 wins over Real Madrid. Fantastic. Dead easy, I reckon. Friends, going forward in the spirit of fun, I did a bit of a fun thing yesterday, which is about values of players, which is always fun to talk about. Obviously, we've been talking a lot about the value of one particular player recently in Liam Delap, £30 million relegation release clause, whatever. But there was a story knocking around, which I enjoyed. It's a story that is unverifiable, but fun to talk about. And it's the Transfer Market website suggesting that Town squad has gained the most value than any other side club across Europe's top 5 leagues since the start of July. And obviously that's largely led by Liam Delap. But I thought we'd talk about it anyway, because there's some interesting financial figures being thrown around, which I wanted to get your views on. So the story itself is essentially that Town squad has increased in value by, I think, 160 million since the start of July, which puts them ahead of Barcelona in second place, Strasbourg in third, quite a long way behind. I believe I'm right in saying that Barcelona's Lamine Yafal is the
Yamal,
I'm getting mixed up with a boxer. yeah, is the player whose value has skyrocketed the most because he's pretty good, isn't he, the lad? Anyway, so they're estimating Delap at 30 million. Which obviously, you know, in the free market, you would say he's probably worth more than that if indeed we could get into free market conditions. But there's other prices and values I want to talk to you about as well, boys. So I'll start with you, Alex. We talked on Monday show, didn't we, about Leif Davis and potentially him being subject of interest in the summer. And Transfer Market estimate that his value is over 21 million, which obviously is a big increase for when he signed for, I think it was just over a million, wasn't it, from Leeds. 21 million for Leif Davis. Do you reckon that sounds reasonable?
I'd sort of say quickly, you must hate Lamine Yamal, 17, born in 2007,
yeah,
worth about like 160 million,
$4 billion or something.
Yeah, Euro winner. It's like when the 2047 World Cup comes around, it'll be about 30, which is very depressing. Anyway, I digress. I just wanted to roll you up a little bit before I go on to this. With Leif, do I think that he would be valued in that? Yeah, I think that's fair. The transfer marked figures in general are interesting, aren't they? When you look at players, that they can kind of range a little bit, where some of them you'd say, oh, that's quite low, and others you might look at it and go, he's worth how much?
Yeah.
But they're kind of a good baseline figure. Don't take any of it as gospel because it's all kind of
estimates. It's all fun. Like it's all fun.
Fun. Exactly. Yeah. Like the season. So with Leif, I'd say, to be fair, in that kind of ballpark figure for where he's worth at the moment, I think that's pretty fair, wouldn't you say? I mean, obviously, and we've talked about the potential for him to leave. If that was to happen, I think we'd probably need to require more than 20 million because of a new contract, because of the fact that still 6 months ago we were talking about him potentially being in an England squad because he's had 40,000 assists in the last championship season, things like that. So all of those things considered, I don't think 20 million would necessarily get Leif Davis, but as a rough valuation, I think that's pretty fair. Yeah.
All right then, Rossi. So as discussed, Liam Delap is Town's top asset. Leif is second. Who do you reckon are the other three in the top five in terms of value, according to this website?
Oh, God.
Oh, what happened there?
God, I don't know what that was.
You're copping off a furball. You're living with cats.
Yeah, because I've got one sitting here with me.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Which one's that? Is that Mercedes or Crystal?
Is that a more fluffy one? No, that's not the more fluffy one. So that is Mercedes.
Okay, cool.
Mercedes. yeah. Yeah, as I was saying before, the furball.
Yeah.
Yeah, was choking me up there. Yeah. Amari Hutchinson, maybe?
Correct. He's third. So that's he's third. Who's fourth and fifth, you reckon?
Jack Clark, maybe?
No, he is sixth.
Can I buzz in or has he got to finish it?
No, you can buzz in because...
Buzz in, Jaden Philogene.
He's fifth.
Okay, cool.
The man in fourth was a summer signing last summer.
So he hasn't coming into Premier League season.
Coming in, well, yeah, Town signed him last summer. Yeah. Maybe he hasn't had the...
Greaves,
yes.
Yeah, it was the one I was...
It's quite interesting. So according to the transfer marked, is that how you pronounce it? It's called a transfer market.
German, isn't it? It's German.
Is it? German? Good lads, yeah. Germans.
It is.
Amari's worth 18.8 million. Jacob Greaves is worth 17.1 million. And Jaden Philogene is worth 15.4 million. Any thoughts on those prices, either of you? Jacob Greaves obviously is a bit of an eye-catching one at more than 17 million, considering he's maybe not had the best of seasons in and out of the team after a really strong start. Amari, 18.8.
I feel like it's a bit of a tricky one where valuations and what I would be happy for like Ipswich to sell them at are very different things here, aren't they? Where valuations are very, very difficult. But if you were saying Ipswich sold those players at those prices, I would hit the roof. I'd be livid. That would be horrible because, I mean, you'd be making a loss on Amari. You'd be making about a £2 million profit on Greaves. What was the one on Philogene? 15? So that
15.4.
A fairly hefty loss there as well, which potentially you could say indicates that Town had paid over the value. But as I will actually write about today, funnily enough, there are players here, possibly all three of them, that have high ceilings and will down the line be worth a lot more. So again, right now, would those be fair indications of how much they are quote unquote worth? Possibly, yeah. But in the case of Mari and Philogene and Jacob Greaves, they're English. They are, what, I think Amari's 23, is he? Around that. Jaden Philogene's 20, 23, 22, kind of in that bracket. I think Jacob Greaves a little bit older, but there aren't many left-footed English centre-backs, things like that. Two of them are England under 21 internationals. There are a lot of different facets to that that could kind of indicate them being top, top players. So is it a fair valuation to have at the moment? Probably, but you've got to also have an eye on the future, and that is also what Ipswich have done really well, is looking at players that are going to grow both as players and in terms of their values down the line, and hopefully go on to play at the top of the game with Ipswich, of course.
What are you grinning at, Ross? Mercedes doing something, is she?
Yeah. Just licking itself.
Oh, here we go. Lovely stuff. Anyway, back to value of footballers, Rossi. So you got Jack Clark. He is sixth, 12.8 million. There are two more players, according to this website, that are worth more than £10 million quid. Who do you reckon they are? I'll give you a clue. One's a defender, and one is a forward, who we've not seen a lot of recently.
That definitely rules out Aro Muric.
Yeah, he's not
a forward.
I can see Alex really wants to buzz in. He's like,
oh, I'm gonna let him do it. Yeah.
Go away. defender. Dar O'Shea must be up there.
Correct. Dar O'Shea. He is seventh. He's apparently worth 12 million.
What are the other forwards? I was like, no, it won't be George Hurst because we only signed him for whatever money it was.
Attacking player, forward player. Not a striker. Scored some historic goals this season.
I can't bloody think. My mind's just gone blank.
We haven't seen him for a while. Although I think he was in the away end.
Sammy Smodics.
There we go. Yeah. Sammy Smodics. They reckon.
Sorry, Sammy. Just completely forgot about you.
Out of sight, out of mind. Injured. Yeah. Dead to me. 10.3 million, Sammy Smodics, they reckon. How do you feel about those prices, Rossi? So you've got Jack, just to reflect, Jack Clark 12.8, Dara 12 million, Sammy 10.3.
Yeah, not too shabby, really. Definitely for Sammy Smodics. I don't know how much we signed him for.
7 million, wasn't he, Smodics? I want to say
off top of my head. And obviously he's getting get older, you know, when he gets to that threshold. You know, I don't know if clubs may not be willing to spend money on those sort of things. You'd be interested to see if any club will actually go out. Like Dar O'Shea, bless him. He has had a few relegations, hasn't he, under his belt. So I don't know if someone will be willing to spend over that. But obviously we did. So, yeah, it's interesting. But I don't know. Mark Ashton will probably want another zero on that, please. But yeah, we'll see.
120 million for Dar O'Shea. That would be, I mean, Ashton's good. He's not that good. AJ, have you got any thoughts on those? I also want to ask you that it also includes in the town squad the loanee values as well. So it suggests that if Town want to buy Kajusta, how much he might be worth? What do you reckon?
I'm going to have a stab at if it's all right with you. I'm going to have a stab at some of these loanees. I put Julio and Cesar, I think it's going to be around the 16 million mark.
18 million.
Ooh, blimey. Okay, it's all those international caps adding up. Mm-hmm. Jens Kajusta, a bit older, great player, but maybe transfer marked will factor in that he's sometimes made of breadsticks. I'll go 13 million, Jens Kajusta.
10 million? A bargain?
Really?
10 million. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I mean, the reported option to buy if Town stayed up was supposedly 11, wasn't it?
There we go.
Reports in Italy, so maybe it's kind of based around that. Who else have we got? Calvin Phillips. Be a bit higher. Maybe go 14, Calvin Phillips.
15 million, Calvin Phillips.
15
yeah.
million. Close. Okay. Probably wouldn't be doing that, but I don't think he'll be staying anyway. Who else have we got? Have we got any other loanees? Have I missed anyone?
That's it, isn't it? Have I missed
that's it?
Oh,
Ben Godfrey?
Oh,
Ben Godfrey, yeah.
You get him free, apparently.
Yeah. Buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
Ben Godfrey, maybe I'd go 8 million.
I'm going to have to check that. Just hold on. Surprisingly, I didn't pay much attention to what Ben Godfrey was worth. 8 million. There we go.
Oh, isn't that what I just said? Yeah. There we go. At least I got one of them.
Well done, you.
That was good.
I also have one more quiz for you. And I'm going to come to you, Rossi. I know Alex will want to jump in. There are, according to this website, again, and it's all a bit of fun, a bit lighthearted fun, isn't it? There are 3 players in Town Squad worth less than £1 million. Who are they?
I see the older players. It's not. There's no young players, is there?
One is young, yeah.
Kieran Slicker. Nah, that's a bit harsh.
Yes, Kieran Slicker. Yeah. Kieran Slicker. He according to this website, Kieran Slicker is the cheapest Town player if you wanted to buy him at 300k. There are 2 more. Who are?
One's got to be a midfielder.
Sorry, Massimo. Yeah. Is it Massimo?
Yeah.
Massimo, yeah. 500K.
I have a sneaky feeling.
And there's one more.
I don't want to say it.
Less than a million.
Less than a million.
I reckon AJ's got it. I think
it's not Morsy. It's got to be Morsy, surely.
It is Morsy.
It is Morsy, yeah.
Yeah.
he is like 30. Or something, so
they've seen your credentials, Ross. They've gone over 30 significantly.
But you don't, to be fair, though, you don't see many players of that age go for a lot of money. So,
they estimate Morsy's worth about 900k. Which I wouldn't tell Sam if I saw him.
Bargain,
next press conference,
yeah.
Sam, you're worth less than £1 million.
Yeah, but I thought that was interesting, friends. I did. As I say, it's totally unverifiable, but it's a good bit of fun, isn't it, thinking about the values. And also, Ross, let's reflect on the fact that not too long ago, when we're talking here, we're getting blasé about players being worth 17 million and 21 million and all this kind of stuff. 1 million was a lot for a Town player to be worth, or indeed Town to be spending. So, again, look how far we've come. Good stuff.
We're spending 10 grand on Tyro Mings under Mick McCarthy. Yeah. And obviously we sold him for 8 million. So yeah, it's crazy.
That was a good bit of player trading, wasn't it? Yeah, and then there's also one more bit of a kind of financially linked news before we get on to talking about Arsenal. AJ, you did something around agents fees, which you were perplexed to find that neither I or Ross have read.
Well, you hadn't read. I don't know if Ross, I assume that Ross would have been up first thing. Having a look at that, analysing the latest numbers and figures. Agents' fees are what they say on the tin. It's the amount that gets paid to intermediaries for different things. So that is permanent signings, loan signings, but also new contracts as well. That's a bit that some people often forget, that you have to have an agent that's involved in that one. So those fees have to be put out publicly. They get done by the FA, all 4 tiers in the EFL and obviously the Premier League as well. And Ipswich in the Premier League are the lowest, which isn't a huge surprise, but still, this is just going to agents and intermediaries. The number is just over £6 million, £6,264,471. So that is lower than Southampton. What have they been spaffing their money on? And Leicester as well, same kind of boat, but also obviously the bigger teams as well. Chelsea topped this one. They spent £60 million
wow.
agents and intermediaries. So it does feel like a lot. I mean, for context, when you go back through Town's previous seasons, where you can kind of compare it all, which obviously is understandably a huge jump up. League One, they spent under £1 million, £849,657. In the Championship, that went up to just over £1.2 million, £1,263,449. So when you look at that, this has been a big increase, obviously, as it naturally would have to be coming up and doing deals for Premier League players. But this is just over £6 million when the total spend on intermediaries is £409 million in the Premier League alone. So it's literally just a drop in the ocean. And it doesn't really feel that way because £6 million is obviously a lot of money, especially this isn't transfer fees, this isn't wages. This is getting paid to agents and intermediaries. So yeah, it shows that, well, what the money in the game is like. One of my favourite bits, actually, is Leeds in the Championship are the ninth highest spenders on agents in the country. At about 18 Blimey. Million.
Wow.
There's. So, yeah, that obviously counts for all the signings. This is the last two transfer windows, so the summer transfer window after promotion and also the January transfer window as well. And then that will also cover the contracts of Leif Davis, Connor Chaplin, Sam Morsey, Luke Wolfen and Wes Burns, Christian Walton, Kieran Slicker, and, don't forget, manager Kieran McKenna as well. Mm. So all of those factor in. It's around 6 million. It's low for the Premier League, but it does show and paint a bit of a picture as well as to how big the step up has been in the chaos of 3 years going from spending less than a million to over 6 million. And it still is nothing in Premier League terms.
Yeah, obviously Kieran's agent was busy last summer, wasn't he? and you say Chelsea are top. Not Man
yeah,
City.
Chelsea are top
Chelsea
of that.
Manchester 100 City, players, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Manchester City are on 52 million, so it's not a big drop off. City didn't spend that much, did they? Because I think they were a little bit worried about certain repercussions, which is fair enough. Arsenal on 22, less than Aston Villa, who had 25. Any other big spenders I can see? United on 33 million, Newcastle 24. Again, you talk about kind of the benchmark teams as well and where they're at and like the teams that Town want to aspire to down the line, a Brighton, a Brentford, a Forest. Brentford on 14, Brighton on 16, Forest on 12, which is pretty low given the amount of business that they do and the fact that they're going to be in the Champions League next season. West Ham 19 feels quite high as well. But again, all of these are double digits. I think they're all double digits apart from the promoted teams by the looks of it. The promoted teams plus Everton. Were the only sides not to spend at least 10 million on agents' fees. Again, indicating how big the gap can be as well in these kind of circumstances.
We're in the wrong business, boys. Should be agents. Definitely can't be a player. Maybe I could be an agent. Got the gift of the gab. Just wander in.
You've got your negotiation skills ready.
Absolutely, yeah. I want tie-ins. I want sponsorship. I want deals. I want synergy. I want interchain dimensional thinking.
Lots of nice buzzwords.
Exactly.
Synergy is a good one, isn't it?
That's synergy is always the one you go back to. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Right then, let's move on from synergy in the boardroom doing deals to synergy on the pitch is what we want to see on Sunday, AJ. As Ipswich Town host just Champions League semi-finalist Arsenal, who have, of course, just done over Real Madrid. That European minnow over two legs. So it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you wonder, as we said, Arsenal are, you know, they haven't, in terms of the league itself, they're realistically out of the running. They, in fact, you know, as we said, Liverpool could win the title this weekend. But they clearly now have something massive to focus on in the future. So do you think them coming to Ipswich is going to be something, clearly they're professional, that kind of stuff, but surely there's a good chance they might not really be focused on coming to Portman Road on Sunday.
100%. And the results show that. And a lot of people have pointed this out. Since April 5th, they went to Everton. They drew that game 1-1. Hosted Real Madrid after that. Won that game 3-0. Obviously, the two Declan Rice free kicks. Unbelievable. Then hosted Brentford. Very winnable game. As I said, Brentford not great on the road. Drew that 1-1. And then just casually went and won at the Bernabeu on last night, wasn't it? So that indicates kind of where Arsenal are at and why there is a cause for optimism and confidence. It probably doesn't help that so the PSG game is not till the end of April. They've got to play Town and host Palace before they come up against PSG. So it's not like it's on the horizon. We need to mentally prepare. We might rest players, things like that. Unfortunately, if they were going to Paris next week, I think this could be a really, really big kind of twist in the game. But you still have to factor in that they've gone to the most successful team in the history of the biggest continental competition and essentially played them off the park over two legs. And the buzz and the kind of mental high and energy and all those different things to then come and play at Portman Road against Ipswich in a competition in a league where it's done, it's over. They're not going to win the league. Odds are that's a possibility still that it all is over this weekend. Do they care that much? that is going to be the big question. They have the quality, we know that, and we'll sit here and we'll talk about Saka and Rice and Odegaard and Havertz and all these different players that you see score every week. But when there's something close, tantalizingly close, they've never won the Champions League before, they haven't been in the semi-final since 2009, do they care about the Premier League? Is there going to be that kind of distraction? So yeah, I'd say maybe the body is willing, but the mind might not be. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, which sums me up, quite frankly. Rossi, what do you reckon then? Because as we said, obviously with Town played at Arsenal, the Christmas game, wasn't it? December 27th. And put in a decent display. It was a narrow defeat. That was the first part of the defensive solidity process, wasn't it? After the defeat to Newcastle. So they've run them close already. Arsenal, best one in the world, having just won at the Bernabeu, coming to Portman Road. Now, I mean no offence here, friends, but probably isn't in terms of intensity and spotlight and everything. I know it's on Sky, but it's probably not up as at that level. So there might be a dip in, you imagine, in focus and intensity. You've been predicting Town wins for most of the last few weeks. Are you feeling good about this one?
I don't know, Portman Road, you know, we've not been that good, have we, at home this season?
The facts do suggest that, yeah.
Yeah, but as AJ said, we're going to win every game now and stay up. So we're not every game. We're going to beat Arsenal and draw Newcastle next up. But yeah, maybe, yeah, the hangover of the Champions League night may be a factor for Ipswich Town, you know, playing at Arsenal, because Arsenal, you know, I know it's not far to go, Madrid, but it's still Thursday, Sunday, quick turnaround. Chelsea had that. But then where were they? They're in Poland, weren't they?
Poland,
so,
yeah.
And obviously, you know, they won that game, but that was an easier task for Chelsea against Legia Warsaw. No offence to them. But yeah, Madrid, as you already mentioned, you know, the Bernabeu, their players, like coming up against Mbappe and Vinicius Jr. and all those players, Bellingham. But they actually weren't on it, were they? So yeah, little hangover there for Arsenal, but I'm sure they'll be back to business. I think they know that the title is gone for them, but obviously they want to finish the season strong and have that momentum going into the game against PSG, because obviously they've got an opportunity to get to the final. Obviously PSG will be a tough game. So yeah, it could be a factor, but Arsenal still got decent players. You know, even their youngsters are pretty good. Like their left back, Miles Skelly, like he's 18 and he's starting against Real Madrid. It's incredible.
Yeah, obviously the one player that Town, in terms of a superstar player that Town didn't face in December, was Saka, wasn't it, AJ? Because he was injured at the time. He's back now. So another thing for Town to factor in terms of the approach to this game. How do you think McKenna will approach it in terms of team? This seems to be, I mean, obviously we always talk about the team every week, but as the season goes on and Town kind of slip closer to relegation, the team selection is potentially getting more interesting, isn't it, from a future point of view?
Yeah, I think that there are kind of certain parts of it that are set in stone at the moment, where I don't see the back line really changing. Obviously, the one little question mark we've had is Leif Davis and his injury and Connor Townsend. Ultimately, I still think that Leif, between now and the end of the season, will play comfortably the most minutes of the two of those. The midfield seems pretty settled with Jens and Morsey. Just give Jens all the games he wants until he signs, basically. I think it's a good approach. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
And then Ben Johnson, I wouldn't be dropping from that right flank, because I think that in a season where, or the second half of the season, where Ipswich haven't had any sort of answers on the right, with two big injury blows to Wes and to Gio, I think that he's finally started to become that solution and has performed really well, got his goal and assist on Friday. And then from there, it's kind of filling in the gaps. And Ciso at the moment, I think, is starting, even though that, I mean, look, his future isn't going to be at Portman Road, is it? But you can see his quality there. And then it's just kind of little bits and pieces. Jack Clark on the left, you would imagine, could quite easily be the same again with Jaden Philogene, probably unlikely, I'd say, to feature again this season. Liam Delap coming back in. There are still options for kind of chopping and changing and making, you know, those rotation decisions, but there's fewer now, isn't it? You could bring Nathan Broadhead in, but without Philogene, fewer options there. Connor Chaplin, is he ready now to start a few more games? I'd like to see him play a bit more regularly. So, yeah, there's kind of this core of the group that I think are going to be playing week in, week out, and it's just now kind of tinkering little bits and bringing in a Connor Chaplin and a Nathan Broadhead and maybe giving Jack Taylor the odd minute here and there, things like that, I think would be how McKenna's going to approach it in the next few games.
Given Saka's back, is there an argument for playing Townsend over Davis? Given we've
seen
a lot of times that Townsend is probably a better defender.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument for it. On the flip side, with Saka starting, I'm not that convinced, to be honest, because he's just come back from a pretty serious hamstring injury. Mm. He didn't play in the last Premier League game. Or he didn't start in the last Premier League game against Brentford. He came off the pitch on the hour mark. It was actually Nwaneri, Trossard, and Martinelli that played in the front three there. They've saved him for the Champions League. It feels like they may be saving him for the bigger occasions. And with the severity of the injury that he's had, how good he is on the pitch last night, all this talk about Vinicius Jr. and Saka, barring a terrible penalty, chalk and cheese, so much better. He's an incredible talent, a fantastic football player. Why risk him in what for Arsenal is a meaningless game? So I think there is that side of it. But you would probably feel more confident if it's him that starts for having Townsend in that position. But also, look, at the end of the day, Leaf is going to be the long-term left-back option. What have they got to lose? The game, sure, but giving him that kind of exposure against a top-level right winger, giving him more minutes in the Premier League, showing him that, you know, we want you to be our future left-back for many, many years to come, and we want you to do it all again in the Championship and come back into the Premier League, and you're going to come up against Saka again, and you're going to mark the life out of him, all those different kind of things. I still think that I'd probably still go with Leaf, to be honest.
I guess the other question, which we maybe find out tomorrow at tomorrow's press conference on Good Friday, we might find out a little bit more about Liam Delap and how he is in terms of that rib injury and whether or not he's ready to start or if it'll be George Hurst again. But Rossi, I know you hate talking about lineup and players and that kind of stuff. Are there any players that you'd like to see more of as we edge towards the end of the season? Within that kind of framework, I guess there's a few nailed on players, but are you thinking, I'd like to see Nathan Broadhead start every game, for example, that kind of thing?
That was obviously a call a few months ago, when we were doing a Coway Live, but he's actually has been playing a bit more, hasn't he? Obviously, he didn't start against Chelsea. He didn't start against Chelsea, because, yeah, now Jack Clark did. Any other players? It's not really anybody that comes to mind, really, because once again, do you continue playing with Julio and Ciso? Obviously, you play with Jens Kew today, but, you know, because we haven't got really anything to play for. We're down, aren't we? I know we've had that little chat earlier. But yeah, there's no one else really that comes to mind because they're injured. Wes Burns and Chio's out.
On that note, do you think Ben Johnson just carries on the right side now? Because we said on Monday show, didn't we? He's been getting better and better.
Yeah,
that's not maybe his position traditionally. He seems to be doing pretty well in it.
Yeah, he scored a goal as well. So yeah. I think he's once again now, you can sort of say he's one of the first names on the team sheet. There's a few players there who are first name on the team sheet. Obviously, you've got a few players out of contract, like Cameron Burgess. You know, you probably start him, but then maybe that puts him in the window.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But yeah, we haven't really got many options, really. But then do you just keep starting George Hurst? Because if Liam Delap's going, you know, maybe Delap's value will go down if you don't start him. He doesn't score any more goals. So, I think just start. You know, McKenna hopefully will just experiment with different players and just start players he knows he'll have next season. So we could see some different players come in, but we shall see.
We shall see.
I think the one that would stand out for me, there's a couple... Taylor and Hurst, I'd like to see get more minutes. If he's fit, Connor Chaplin for me.
Yeah.
Because before he got his knock, I thought he was performing really well around kind of December time. I mean, it was right at the end of the calendar year, wasn't it, that he picked up the injury. And in December, I mean, he scored his first goal. He was performing really well. And we talk about maybe using players that are going to be big for town in the Championship. Connor Chaplin, what did he get? Around 10 goals, a little bit more, was it? I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was the joint top goal scorer with Nathan Broadhead in the Championship last season. He's coming into what are really going to be now the peak years of his career, 28. Show him that despite everything that's happened with all of these signings coming in, that there is still such a big part for him to play at Ipswich. And I think he'll repay that faith because I think he's a brilliant football player and is exactly the kind of asset that they'll want to have in the Championship next season. So if there's a chance for him to hopefully start a few more games, if he's up to that kind of level, he still hasn't played, has he? No, he did come on, didn't he? He didn't come on against Chelsea. He did come on briefly against Wolves, but yeah, he's played 9 minutes since the Newcastle game.
The 9 minutes this year, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So, he'd be one for me.
I think we've talked, obviously, about how much Town have missed Wes Burns and Chiyo Ogbene, but I think there's also, it kind of gets missed maybe, that how much they've missed Chaplin and Smodics as well. And you mentioned there, Conor Chaplin, how many goals he scored last season. I've just looked, because this is still available, friends. Mission Impossible, when times were happier. 13 goals he got last season. Tied for the lead with Nathan Broadhead. There we go. Right, and shall we talk about predictions? And this is anything else you want to mention on the game itself, AJ, in terms of analysis?
Arsenal are quite good.
They're half decent.
You know, everything that we've said about the Champions League and about the previous games all has to come into consideration. And yeah, I mean, I've plotted their route to safety anyway for Ipswich. So,
well, we know they're going to win this weekend because you already said it. Yeah. They need to if they're going to survive, and that's what's going to happen. Okay. Yeah. So, what are you saying then, AJ? He says, predicting a defeat.
I think they'll win this weekend. That's what I'm saying. Genuinely, right? Genuinely? I'm going to tell you. Right. Because when I did my block of predictions, which runs out this weekend, so next week you'll have the final block. I'll put that up. You'll see Stu will do the final.
I think
block
Stu might be doing that on Monday, actually. Yeah.
Ah, there you go. So we'll have one of those coming up. I predicted this as a draw, and I predicted it as a draw for very similar reasons. I was had to think quite far ahead, but I was thinking Champions League, Real Madrid, they'll be puffed out. Then the title will be done, is what I said. And that's exactly how it's kind of transpired, and that's why I said a draw. But there's enough reasons for me to be confident that they can go and win it. Yeah, they don't win games at Portman Road. Yeah, they don't win games in the Premier League. But,
but
don't laugh. I just think that with everything happening at Arsenal at the moment, with rotation, with fatigue, with maybe not playing players like Saka, with Town as well, and this is maybe not something that we've spoken about too much, with that Chelsea result, you could see they were playing with a sense of freedom. They know what's going to happen. And, you know, I said it to Ben Johnson, you know, do you feel like there's this kind of sense of freedom where the consequences aren't really there? And he said no. And I'm not sure about how much I believe that. I think that they're kind of playing knowing that if they lose, fine, whatever. But they're going to go out, they'll play, and they'll be happy just playing in the Premier League, knowing that whatever will be. And I think that's going to be such a great approach to have in this game. And I think they're going to win it. And I think they're going to win it 2-1.
I love it. I mean, when you look at the remaining fixtures, this is Town's kind of biggest chance to get something famous, isn't it, in the book, in terms of a win over the Champions League semi-finalists at home on a Sunday, live on Sky, something that will be remembered for a long time to come. This is their shot. So you're saying 2-1. Rossi, what are you saying?
Well, I remember the last time that Arsenal came to Portman Road, there was a famous night.
Was it all the way back, Tamás Priskin? Was that the last time they were at? Well, I suppose it was,
Yeah, so why not? That happen again?
Why not? The why not
there
reason,
we go.
I love it. Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. Going to back a 1-0 win. Who's a random goal scorer? Because Tamás Priskin, bless him, he wasn't the most prolific strikers. We ain't got any Hungarian players in our squad. Maybe another goal from Jens Kuste, whatever you call him. That'd be nice. Although that puts him in the shot window. He's like, he's just scored against the Champions League bloody semi-finalists. But yeah, 1-0. Town final, win it. Portman Road again. Obviously, their previous home win was against another London club. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah, why not? Exactly. Why not? Of course. Okay, so we've got 2-1. We've got 1-0. Am I going to go for a win? I feel like I should, but I don't know if I can. I feel like, I know. Woo. I'm going to say draw. I reckon it will be, I'll say 2-2.
So negative, predicting a draw against Arsenal.
In life, I'm so negative. God, looking at the facts, idiot. I'll say 2-2. But anyway, I mean, a draw at home against Arsenal would still be decent, let's be honest. But, if it comes to pass they beat Arsenal, that'd be tremendous, wouldn't it? It would be.
They would have to, obviously, beat Newcastle if they draw Arsenal, though, which is a bit of a... Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's still possible.
I think the record will show that of all three of us, I'm the least likely to be right in terms of predictions. So, hopefully, that trend will continue and you boys will be right and we'll get a win. Before we depart, friends, should we talk very quickly about FPL? I know you boys are going to try and get an FPL pod in, but essentially just because I want to show off. 89 points, boys, what I got this week. Brought in Harvey Barnes, didn't I? That was a master stroke. How did you boys get on?
89 points.
Bastard. It's the same.
Slap bang on the same.
Did you have Harvey Barnes as well?
I did not have Harvey Barnes. I did have whichever Murphy plays for Newcastle, Jacob Murphy.
Yeah.
Who got 19 points. Captain Isak. I've got my assistant manager, Eddie Howe, who was a good pick, 23 points. The biggest frustration for me, so I had Munoz in my team, who obviously got absolutely royally walloped last night by Newcastle, minus 1 point. On my bench, Ryan Aitnouri, 14 points.
Oof.
So I could have been on 104 if I'd not been stupid, but I was stupid. So, that one hurts. But I'm back into the top 100, and I'm back ahead of Ross. I know that. So
excellent. I was just going to ask, and of course you do know that. I
checked last night.
I don't know, because I suspect now that Watson has completely lost interest in this, and he's probably not even changing his team. Obviously, he's got other things to worry about.
He does occasionally, sometimes.
So I was hoping, because my aim is to get into the top 500 in the KOA league before the end of the season. I think I'm 540th at the moment. I don't know where Watson is, though. It's no easy way of finding out, is there? Because I'm wondering if I may be within striking distance of him. How did you do, Ross?
I think, actually, fair enough, I think I checked this, and I think you actually are above Stu.
Am I?
Now, I think you are, potentially.
Oh, that is tremendous. You have to say that is sensational.
Yeah, I'll have to double check for you, and I will do that for you. But yeah, I've had a mare, so I don't care about FPL anymore.
Okay, so that's the end of the podcast.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, because AJ's above me now. I enjoyed that first few weeks of...
So I have seen there's your 1 point below friend of the pod, Callum.
Yeah.
Who... he's got 62 for the week. You've got, can I say it? Do you want to say it?
53. I didn't even get the average.
53. He didn't get the average, unfortunately. He also was made to pay by the Munoz minus one, minus one, I see. But I like Bruno Guimaraes for 10, Isak 11. It's not bad. I don't know why you captain Salah. That was bizarre. But
I forgot to change the captain. So there you go.
This is confirmed, by the way, while you've been talking. I am above Watson.
Ah,
I mean, that is, we talk about great escapes, great comebacks. It has to be up there, friends, does it not? Because I'm now, having been bottom of the pile all season, I've now surged above Watson by 20 points or so. There we go. Never count Heath out. But you boys will be doing an FPL pod, I assume. I don't know when you're going to do it, because we haven't got a lot of time, have we?
There'll be one at some point.
At some point.
We can do one this week. That would be brilliant. If not, we'll do a big one next week and recap.
Because it's a massive game week coming up, isn't it? There's like four teams playing twice next week or this week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in my team, for example, I've got Palace and City playing twice, but there are others.
Arsenal are playing twice.
Villa are as well. And Arsenal. Hands up, right. I'm now a little bit worried, because when I went in chat, I hadn't really clocked that Saka might not start. I've got Saka captains at the moment, and I'm a little bit touchy about that, having seen he didn't start last week and kind of thought, oh, is he going to?
But
I'll have to have a little think about that one. We'll have some time to break all of it down, whether it's this week or next week. And I'm sure Ross is really looking forward to recording it.
Absolutely.
Don't care.
Excellent. Looking forward to that one going forward then. Superb. Friends, anything else to mention before we take our leave? We've got a lot of work to do. We've got work all over Easter, of course, including tomorrow's press conference on Good Friday, which is fine. Fantastic. Anything else to mention?
What's your favourite day of Easter then? Which one of the weekend?
I don't have a favourite day of Easter. Easter is nothing to me. Being a journalist, I've always had to work on Easter. And now I'm a sports journalist. I have to work pretty much all over Easter. Although it's not as bad as winning the championship, of course, because they
when you play Good Friday
twice, at least this time we're all going to get, I think, a day off over the period, which is nice.
Either unusual. One of the two where I can sit down on the sofa and just watch wall to wall
football,
EFL football, which is just what I do all the time anyway. But like, I mean, the Easter period when you're not working, which is very rare. Just being able to sit back and just watch all of the Championship and League One and League Two stuff and Cambridge getting relegated tomorrow probably and things like that. Yeah, great. Love it.
Excellent. Rossi, how many Easter eggs are you going to get?
I don't know. I've been so tempted to like just eat my niece and nephew's Easter eggs. They're in the cupboard.
Oh, you can't
like,
do that. So come on.
I'm like, I've been close to, but I haven't.
Imagine they come back. I've lost the cats and I've eaten your Easter eggs.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. You're like what I'm going to be doing on Monday, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be going to the Trinity Dog Show or Trinity Park. I'm going to
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So it's over Sunday and Monday, but we're going to the Monday one. Good old Jasper's coming along.
Oh, yeah,
Jasper's
amazing.
Coming along. So we're actually, I think my dad is going to enter him into some competitions. So
there's got to be a best haircut one that you can enter because he's got an absolutely elite tier Barnet. That'd be great, mate.
Wow. I'm looking forward to it, yeah. Good stuff. And final thing for me, there'll be another Coway podcast special dropping on Saturday. So that is Drissad Diallo, who's a defender back in the day in the 2000s under Joe Royal and stuff. Really good story. So check it out when it drops.
Yeah, and there's also an exclusive that you're going to be dropping tomorrow morning, Rossi. Your chat with Mark Brennan. Some sort of sad news that came out of that, but also obviously an issue that is becoming a wider issue in football. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? It'll be dropping on our website at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so if you haven't already, listened to the podcast that I had with him last month, but he sort of dropped that he's been diagnosed with MCI, which is a disease that could lead to dementia, but sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, he just sort of really opened up about complications with COVID and just the journey he's been on the last few years. And a big shout out to his wife, Jane, who has been really helpful with like, you know, sort of setting up the interviews with him. And yeah, really good chat with him, you know, obviously an 80s player, bit of a cult hero. And yeah, it's sad, but it's such a common thing with footballers, you know, definitely from that era because of the ball, that had the ball all the time. But yeah, really good chat with him. And he sort of opened up about being diagnosed with that and how it's changed his life day to day.
Yeah, so that'll be dropping tomorrow morning. AJ, you're obviously still in the first flush of love with your better half. Have you bought like 57 gold-plated Easter eggs and you got like a 400 daffodils to deliver to her on Easter Sunday before obviously you go to Portman Road?
There are Valentine's Day, Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries. Do people really? I'm probably going to offend lots of people. Do people really care that much about like Easter eggs and stuff like that? So, no. Be honest. I mean, who knows? Maybe there'll be a pit stop or a supermarket,
a garage.
Exactly. But beyond that. Yeah, not. I feel like let's not overdo it on the celebrations. We're not all made of money.
Exactly. On that note, friends, that brings us to the end of the show. I hope we've lifted your spirits somewhat with hopefully what was a fun show. Looking back at, well, AJ's told us how Town are going to survive. Running towards adversity, they're going to stay up. Confirmed. We've also talked about how much money Town squad is worth. Had a bit of fun around that. It's great. And also, two of us have predicted they're going to beat Arsenal on Sunday. So again, more fun there. Friends, whatever you're doing this Easter, have a great one. Hopefully, you have some spare time in your hands to use the code KOA and support our sponsor, stardustspirits.co.uk. And get 20% off all their excellent products there. Also, if you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, just helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts. And support us and follow us across social media. Kings of Anger on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. And the three of us are all individually on Blue Sky as well, if you want to join us there. Friends, have a great Easter weekend. Look out tomorrow for the press conference. It's on Good Friday. Have I mentioned that? It's fine. And then the game itself is on Easter Sunday, which obviously the boys will be there. We'll be covering. Stewie's working Monday, and we'll be back next week to bring you more reflect on Town's famous win over Arsenal. Have a great Easter, everyone. Enjoy the sun. We'll speak to you then. We'll be right back.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.